Welcome to How I Raised It, the podcast that goes behind the scenes with entrepreneurs who've raised capital. We uncover the tips, tricks, and techniques they use to get investors to write a check. Strap in and turn it up.
Hi, welcome to another episode of How I Raised It, produced by Foundersuite.com. Today I have Olaf Mata with MixMex coming to me from San Francisco. How's your day going, Olaf?
Great. How are you today?
I'm great. So let's start off. For anyone not familiar, what is MixMex?
So at MixMex, we're reinventing email for business. So whether you're in sales success or recruiting, we help you sell, succeed, and hire better. And the kind of beauty of this is we do this without forcing you to change anything in your existing workflow. So we just kind of naturally sit on top of your email and CRM or ATS.
That's cool. So what is a typical scenario? I'm a salesperson. Give me a little use case there.
Yeah. So the typical scenario might be you're in sales success or recruiting, you're trying to set up time to meet someone. Rather than kind of engaging in mindless back and forth to find a time, with MixMex and a keystroke in your existing email, you can just embed available times directly inside of the email so that when your prospect sees that and taps on a time, the meeting's automatically set up. So rather than that back and forth, it's literally just one click and the meeting is on both of your calendars. So a great example of how we help you achieve more as a salesperson.
Cool. What were you doing before starting this, and how did you come up with the idea?
I was at another startup called Inkling, where we built what's kind of Google Docs, but for the publishing industry. And coming up with MixMex is probably a really, really long process, actually. It dates back probably at least a decade in various shapes or forms. But I'm a communications geek, as are my two co-founders. So I worked at Skype for a while. My co-founders, did things like designing Gmail for iOS and mobile web, or working on texting and calling at WebOS at Palm.
Very interesting. Cool. So let's talk about fundraising. How much have you raised? How many rounds? I was looking at your details. You've got a all-star list of investors, but maybe give us the lay of the land on what you've raised.
Yeah, so in total, we've raised $13 million, which is an astonishing amount for sure, although sizes for raises tend to continue to rise, right? And this we did in kind of two batches. One was a pretty big seed round of $3 million, and then an A round of $10 million.
Let's go chronologically. So let's start with the seed round. I'm looking at this list of angel investors in this seed round. You've got Brad Feld, Eric Ries, Ram Shriram, and Mira Ko. It's just like an all-star list. So how did you put together this killer seed round? And what were you pitching at the time? Was it just this concept of MixMex, or did you have crazy traction? You know, what was kind of the pitch?
Yeah. Great question. I think for us, the I'll just start out by sharing kind of where we were at in terms of the product and the traction that we had, and then I can share a little bit some tactics from that raise.
Yeah.
So in terms of traction, I would say honestly we had very, very little. We had a closed beta and a pretty functional product, although one that had its like whole set of bugs, but there was no like material traction. For sure. So I think this was a lot of bet on us as a team, as founders, having worked as like product design and engineering leads before, having worked together for multiple years and having like a really solid product demo and a clear vision of where we wanted to go. And for us, that was kind of like doing for email what Slack did for chat and becoming kind of the platform for every company's external conversations. And so some tactics from raising that round, I'm trying to draw from memory here, but I think there are kind of like two nuggets here. The first thing is kind of even before going out to find more quote unquote like institutional seed money, as weird of a word as that is, we got some commitments from people we knew. So our prior CEO at the prior company was eager to invest. And so that was kind of the very first money in the door. And then I, from having grown up in Sweden, knew the SoundCloud founders, and they also had an angel fund and they were really keen to invest. So we had kind of some nominal like brand name commitments before we even went to anyone. So I think that helped. And kind of when founders ask me about this, I'm like, you know, perhaps it's not the brand name, you know, commitments that you need, but perhaps you can find an industry leader. No matter how nominal the amount is that person wants to put in, that'll be a good like proof point for you. So we had that initial proof point before raising, before going to more institutional money.
Yeah, interesting.
And yeah, let me pause there. But there's, as always, there's more.
Sure. And so just to put context, this is 2015, right? Early 2015. Yeah. Got it. Okay, so you got a couple kind of anchor investors, and then how did you round up this star list from there?
Yeah, the rest of that actually, once we were very fortunate in that we got a couple of term sheets, and so the person that we're most excited about working with was Michael Deering of Harrison Metal, very much just from kind of other founder references, because that's what founders do, right? They talk to other founders. And as we did that, we saved kind of a pretty chunky piece of the overall round and put that in an AngelList syndicate.
Okay.
And so that was actually a great way to get a little bit of buzz around the company and to reach people that we otherwise didn't necessarily have a relationship with, like the Eric Reese's that you mentioned. I'm not at all familiar with what like fundraising on AngelList looks like these days, but I definitely would recommend any founder to look into it.
So who led the syndicate, right? Because most syndicates will have one, you know, kind of lead and then a lot of backers.
Yep. Ash Fontana, who's now at a firm called Zeta, led the syndicate.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. When we were raising, I raised a small amount on AngelList back in the day, I guess also around 2015, and it was pretty seamless. I think they've changed the structure quite a bit, but yeah, be interesting to see.
Yeah. So much has evolved with AngelList since. I can't keep up.
Yeah. With this list, well, I want to move on to your next round in a minute, but with this list of folks, are they active? Can you lean on them? How do you engage them? You know, you've got a pretty big brain pool.
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Yeah, great question. I'm probably definitely not the expert in this, but I guess if I think about this just from an entrepreneur perspective, I think just what happens here is you have some people who will engage a lot with you and other people who won't. And partly you can control that to some extent, right? Depending on how much you engage with them. So some people might not like volunteer to engage, but if you engage, they will. And other people are kind of just like naturally reach out because they have time or they're like particularly interested in what you're doing and you're not just like a financial bet for them.
That makes sense. Do you do any, anything specific to engage with folks? Do you send out a newsletter? Do you, have monthly or quarterly calls or?
Yeah. Prior to the A round, we used to do a monthly update to everyone. And now post the A round, just because there's kind of, it's gotten a little bit professionalized, we don't do the monthly newsletter with, you know, the full kimono to every single person on the cap table. But we do just a slightly more condensed version. But that was the kind of main forum for engaging with folks. And then I think for us, that actually ended up being how there was some like self-selection, because certain people who had invested would kind of engage with that newsletter, and then newsletter, by which I mean update, right? Mm-hmm. And then that was how we knew who we like engaged further with, basically.
Yeah. Okay, let's fast forward. So it looks like if I'm looking at PitchBook data, if this is accurate, there was about almost 3 years before raising your next round, which was this Series A that you recently completed. Is that correct?
Yep.
So when did you, why did you decide to raise another round? Was it you were seeing some interesting business signals, or were you seeing competitors raising money? Like, what kind of prompted this?
Great question. So this is, honestly was pretty opportunistic. So at the time we raised, we were profitable, growing nicely, 10% month over month. And so there wasn't really a financial need for it. What kind of happened a little bit was that we had been getting a fair amount of inbound interest and then got an inbound term sheet, which kind of spurred some conversations on my end, just with investors and people I'd known from the past or chatted to. And then we had an opportunity to work with kind of two people that I was excited about working with. One, Jason Lemkin of Saster, who had been following for a while and known for a bit. And then Carl Fritchison of Creandum, who also I'd known for multiple years and have kind of been following MixMax closely. So it was very much kind of opportunistic, I would say. But it's interesting because now in hindsight, there are a whole kind of other set of benefits that I wasn't as conscious about that I've realized the round brought.
Maybe touch on those if you can.
Yeah. So first of all, there's definitely something true to what people say about, you know, if you have more cash in your bank, you sleep better as the founder CEO. I say that's certainly true for the first month. And then the second month you sleep worse than before. So because obviously what happens is just the bar is like way higher, right? But I think the big thing what that does is it actually enables you to be bolder in a good way. So it lets you feel more confident in placing slightly bigger bets on the product side, on the business side, and kind of organizationally. I think another thing, as weird as this is and as perverse as it is, it's actually a pretty strong signal for hiring too, where people feel like a particular, you know, round of financing or amount of cash in the bank is like, you know, social cachet in a way. And now I feel that's kind of a weird artifact of how, you know, the VC industry has created a demand for VC money in that way. Because ultimately, right, as a hire, you probably want to be at a company that's raised as little money as possible, but yet has spectacular economics.
Yeah.
But so that's the way it works today.
Well, yeah, and that's, I was going to ask about that too, because if you, you raised that, you know, nice seed round, and the business was growing fast, and, you know, I'm assuming you retained a pretty huge chunk of the business after the seed round. When you get on this VC track and raise $10 million Series A, obviously that's setting you off on another track, but it's also dilution. Was that, I don't know, did you wrestle with this decision of, you know, maybe selling at some point at a lower valuation, but having more equity versus raising lots of money and dilution that comes from that, and what that means for your exit?
A couple of things on that. So firstly, and perhaps this is just from us founders having worked together for a good while before creating the company, but this is 100% a long-term venture for us. Mm-hmm. And we're here to, I mean, it's like create a legendary team. We're here to do our like life's best work. I see myself working on MixMax 20 years from now. So we're here to create a huge and genre-defining business, and the market we're in absolutely supports that. So there wasn't kind of what you were alluding to, I think, would be something where we'd have a slightly like shorter-term horizon or shorter-term goals. But that's just not the case for us. And so secondly, I think you kind of spoke a little bit about dilution, and I get dilution as a concept. I think ultimately, right, just to take a kind of silly example, if you buy stock in the stock market, you don't care about, you know, a percentage share you own in Google or Apple. You care about what the share price is. And so that's kind of ultimately how I think about it too. It's not necessarily what the ownership percentage is, but what the share price is today and what the expected share price can be in the future.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it sounds like for this Series A, you had inbound interest. Did you even have to get out and kind of shop around or run a process, or were you, I guess, did you take it out and, you know, see what other potential investors in the market were, or did you just kind of respond to the inbound interest? on this series?
I'd say a little bit of a combination of both. Mm-hmm. So as we got inbound interest and got an inbound term sheet, I spoke to people who I'd spoken to in the past and whom I felt I had a prior relationship with. So it was a little bit in between the two. I didn't like run a big fundraising process per se, mm-hmm. like I have entrepreneur friends who have done. So
yeah,
a little bit between the two, if you will.
And who led the round? Was that Floodgate or Creandum?
Creandum and Jason Lemkin.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Floodgate is a seed investor of ours.
Gotcha. All right, I got it. I'm not familiar with Creandum. Are they a Silicon Valley VC? Or are they?
They're a Swedish VC, actually. So perhaps you didn't know this, but I grew up in Sweden and actually had a startup in Sweden even before coming out here. Amazing firm with amazing people. They're backed, well, actually, just topically, since Spotify is about to IPO, if they haven't already, they're the original Series A investor in Spotify. And you might be familiar with the payments company Klarna, which is like Europe's biggest payments processor. So
I just saw that headline about, actually, now I know who they are. When you mentioned that they bought back Spotify's Series A, I just read that article, I think yesterday or the day before, about that. Kind of a VC firm you've never heard of, or at least, you know, most people haven't heard of, that has this great stake in a pre-IPO company.
Yep, yep. Really cool. I think there's some geographical bias there. You might not have heard about it in like a 1 mile radius around South Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyone in Europe has, so.
Gotcha. Yes, for sure. What's Jason been like? I love his tweets. I go to Staster, you know, last 2 years. I mean, I really enjoy the content coming out there. Is he pretty active or more passive?
I think he'll be just as active as you want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
So on a personal level, I engage with him a fair amount and try to engage with him like as much as I possibly can. So I think overall, when it kind of comes to investors, is it's perhaps it's helpful to say you want to have like a mix of personalities that you work with, because different people will have different biases and help you in different ways. And so what's really unique about MixMax, what's very unique about Jason as an investor is, and this comes through so much in his writing, right, is he has been through that exact struggle that you go through on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so recent for him too. And so that just gives him a wealth of background knowledge and experience to draw upon.
Yeah, that's great. Did you lean on your angels when, you know, kind of putting together the Series A round? Did you counsel them on kind of putting together the ultimate round or not so much?
Not so much. I mean, we have a lot of angels, but certainly kind of the biggest and our biggest seed investors were obviously completely in the loop and on board.
Gotcha. Yeah. Very interesting. All right. A couple more quick questions. I'll let you get back to building your business.
Yeah. Fun questions.
How do you think about fundraising going forward? I mean, you've got on the VC track now, right? And you can't go backwards, can't get off it. So do you anticipate raising multiple rounds? I like your phrase, raising money enables you to be bolder. So do you just keep doubling and tripling down? How do you think about funding as a strategy going forward?
You're asking me this question way too soon. it's all so recent. I don't think about it at all, actually.
Yeah.
Anymore. And I think ultimately the goal would be to, obviously everyone wants a business that just prints cash, at a rate at which you like never even have to consider raising again.
Does the competitive landscape play into how you think about fundraising at all?
No. Close to zero.
That's good. Awesome. Any advice you would give on, you know, just raising money for entrepreneurs who haven't done it before? What would you tell yourself if you're starting this whole process over again, you know, your younger self?
Yeah, I think one thing, and I noticed this just a little bit from fellow founders, but I think it's when we raised, we biased perhaps a little bit more, and this was no like conscious bias, it was completely unconscious bias on our end, but if most of our angels are kind of a little bit more on the institutional seed investment side, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we didn't necessarily have a lot of kind of founder CEOs as seed investors. And just when I contrast with other friends' companies where that's the case, that was probably, I think that was just helpful for them in certain scenarios when they had like some very tactical operational problem they wanted third-party perspective on, because they could get someone who was, you know, actually still a CEO and talk to them and get advice. And that was something that was just harder for us because we didn't like have that in our investor mix. So that might be something I would tell my younger self.
No, that's interesting. Are you have a co-founder, right? Or you're a solo founder?
Yeah, we have two co-founders.
I think that advice actually really applies, especially if you're a solo founder, right? If you don't have that sort of brain trust to lean on.
Yeah, and I think it's just you want that brain trust from outside of your company, right? Because mm-hmm. Your co-founders are likely to have the same biases and same relative inexperience in particular areas. Yeah.
Very good. Well, great. So, this has been super useful. Do you have, I guess if people want to learn more about MixMax, it's just mixmax.com, correct?
Yes, mixmax.com, and especially mixmax.com/careers.
Oh,
so yeah, of course we're hiring through the roof. So for almost every function. So I want to throw that out there to your listeners. I know it's a good group.
Very good. All right, Olaf. Well, I really appreciate this. This has been fun. So thank you very much. Guys, everyone check out mixmax.com, and I wish you continued success.
Thanks. This was fun. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'll catch you after your next round, all right?
Yeah, sure thing. Might have to wait a while, but
okay.
Cheers.